morning. I'm going to trust the Lord that he's going to say just enough. Maybe we'll pray in the middle. I'm not really clear on exactly where we're going to end up. But I'm going to start with Psalm 23. Psalm 23. This psalm is probably the most well-known psalm of all the psalms. And you often, if you've ever been to a funeral where there's been some level of faith, some faith in God and Jesus, often it's used at a funeral. I think that's a bad thing, but this is more to do with living than it is dying. So it's great to have it at the end of your life. If you want to do that and write it into your notes, that's what I'd like to be spoken. It's for the living, for those who are following Jesus. And for the next 3 weeks, we're actually going to do a series on being shepherded by the voice of the shepherd. So being led, being shepherded by his voice. So that's going to be the next 3 weeks, because it's a very important subject that you know the shepherd and you know how to hear him. It is absolutely of the utmost importance that you know him and you know how to follow him. And we're going to look at Psalm 23 to start. And I wonder if you could just think about, when we read through, that this psalm actually paints a picture, a portrait of someone who has the Lord as their shepherd. A picture of a life that is following Jesus, the Good Shepherd. So, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The wonderful results. This is the results of those who have the Lord in experience, in living experience as their shepherd. And we read just a few things that he cares. The shepherd, when he is allowed to, he's allowed to care for us. He's allowed to feed us. He's allowed to restore us. He restores our soul. You know, the human needs in all of us, the things that we need in life, most of them are on the inside. Yes. Your soul needs. And Jesus is the restorer of your soul. He also protects and defends you, as we've already heard this morning. He's our defense, our shield, protection from evil and from all negativity. He also is company. That's another need, human need, that we are never alone. Jesus said of those who believed in him, so important that we receive it personally. I will never leave you or forsake you. I know we know it, but it's good to hear it again. I will never, even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, hard times, difficult times, I will never leave you. You are with me. You are with me. And so Psalm 23 is a lot more than just providing for your material needs. It's providing for your deepest need as a person. And God himself sets himself up in our view as a shepherd in his word. That's one of the names of Jesus. He calls himself the good shepherd in John chapter 10. I think it's in verse 11. I am the good. He uses this word good because there are bad shepherds. There are bad shepherds in your soul and in your life, leading you probably into destruction. Jesus is the only one who can lead you well. He's the only one qualified to lead your life. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. So the love and the heart of God, the shepherd, is for you. His heart is 100% for you, so much so that he went to die on the cross for your sins, that you might have the best life in him. Life in all its fullness. It also speaks about the good shepherd being someone who will never run when the wolf comes to attack the sheep. The hired hand, the one who's doing a job and just paid for it, runs when trouble comes. God himself doesn't just not run. He stands and fights with you for your victory. He's the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. And Jesus says that he's so good that when we follow him, we won't have lack or want. Now, I'm going to unpack that in a little while. But it's really important we hang our faith onto. Following Jesus means I won't lack and have needs that can't be met. Really important when he is shepherding you, when he's, you know, we need to be under the leadership of God for the outcome of this psalm. When God leads your life through Jesus as the good shepherd, your life will show evidence of it, like this Psalm 23. Your soul will be restored. You'll have presence in problems. You'll have his presence when there's problems. You'll have times when you will go through difficulty, but you're not camping or staying in that situation. He will guide you through. He leads you through bad times to good, out of darkness and into light. Amen. Now, Jesus said in John 10:27, how we actually follow him is by recognizing, knowing his voice, hearing his voice. My sheep, it's one of the ways he sees us, a bit like sheep. I used to be quite insulted when I first heard that. I thought, I'd rather be a faithful dog. Because I know some sheep, but they, if you've ever studied sheep or looked at them in a field, they don't know anything. They just haven't got a clue. They rely on the shepherd to take care of them. So, but actually, now I've gone on in my Christian life, I stand in front of the mirror every morning and I say, you don't know anything. You need the shepherd. Without him, you can't lead. You can't lead your life. You can't lead your family. You can't lead your business. You can't lead your finances. Can't lead your health. Can't lead your future. Can't lead in relationships. You've got to have Jesus as the good shepherd. Otherwise, you can't do this, guys. You can't do this. Don't know if you've ever looked in the mirror and said, you need a shepherd. And his name is Jesus. Out of every situation, you need a shepherd. And Jesus said, you're hearing my voice. That's how you follow. You follow the voice of the shepherd. Now, in the UK, and it's really unusual this morning, the little lane I drive, it's called Pope's Lane, but we're not Catholic here, but it's called Pope's Lane. And it's a narrow lane and it's very windy. And unusually, there were some sheep, a lot of sheep in this field. I've never seen sheep in this field. And I said, oh, Lord, you're confirming the word this morning for me. I'm really grateful. And he says that they hear his voice. Now, in the UK, farmers use utility vehicles to round up sheep, farm utility vehicles. You've seen the buggies, have you? Maybe you haven't, but that's what they use. Or dogs, sheep dogs. And the dogs kind of nip at the heels of the sheep sometimes. But in Israel, in the times when Jesus was teaching and wanting to reveal who he was, a shepherd led very differently to how farmers lead their sheep now. Very, very differently. Because, you know, in the UK, the fields are quite green, and you can turn a flock out into a field and leave them there, and there'll be enough food for them. But in Israel, the food is fairly sparse. Often, you know, they have to follow the shepherd a long way, grazing on the way, feeding on the way, because they nip a piece of grass there and then they take a bit of that there, and they can walk 10 to 15K a day, kilometers a day. But the shepherd there does not lead by throwing them out. He leads by his voice. And he goes before them and has a calling out. And every individual sheep within the flock, which is the local church, the flock is like the local church. There's one flock, which are millions and millions of Christians all over the world. But there's the flock you belong to, the community you're with, that God has put you in. Very important. But when the shepherd speaks, every individual sheep goes, and they start to trot out, wander out, and they feed and they graze, and he leads them to the water when they need it. He leads them to rest when they need it. He knows how to rescue them out of trouble. So being a shepherd in that visual is completely different to being driven, pushed, shoved forward. And God is not a domineering control freak. He's a leader, the leader of all leaders. But you always have a choice as to whether you're going to follow or not. But actually, Jesus wants every one of his people to have their ears open for him. You say, oh, hang on, he's speaking. I need to move with that. I need to do that. I need to say that. So that's the imagery that really is helpful, understanding how Jesus leads individuals and leads his flock, the local church, and leads every believer. Now, this statement that when he's my shepherd, I shall not want, does it mean I get everything I want when I want it? I thought I need to say something here, because that isn't what Jesus means. Okay, you don't just get everything you want when you want it. It's Christmas coming. Sorry to say that word. But children are already writing out their lists. And they're thinking about what they could have. Young people maybe need an upgrade on the most expensive phones ever. I mean, aren't they? If you've got a teenager and they're just going on and on and on about have the latest phone, do you know what's going to happen to you? You're going to find out about persevering prayer. Because they're going to go on and on and on. And, you know, parents find it a struggle these days to say no. Am I right? There's a whole generation that has said yes to everything. And children are overindulged and selfish. They grow up selfish. If you want to ruin your child's life, let them have everything they want. And you see, God is a good father. He doesn't let you have everything you want. And he doesn't let me have everything I want. Otherwise, I'd live an indulgent, selfish life. And I'd be, if I was with somebody in a relationship, I'd be looking at them going, I want more. And that's what the advertising at Christmas does. You're not satisfied with what you have. Millions of pounds are spent on advertising saying, you need this. How many of you have seen something online or in a TV advert or something and it comes up and you go, oh, that would be nice, wouldn't it? And it appeals to you to want what you're seeing. So when the scripture says, I shall not want, what the Father doesn't mean, the shepherd doesn't mean, is you're going to have everything you want. This is a happy message. Because he loves you, he knows it's not good for you to have everything you want. And we need to help. You know, people say no to what's not good for them. The soul that is dissatisfied never has enough. So you can have a Christian who has Christ in them, who has been blessed with every blessing, sins forgiven, God providing for all need, but still a dissatisfaction on the inside that is always saying, whatever I have is not enough. And that person will be very difficult to be with or to relate to. Because whatever you have, you're always looking for what you don't have. Now, that doesn't mean to say we're not reaching out for the things that Jesus has laid hold of us for. I'm one of those people when somebody says, and I'm blessed to be able to say this, but I have a satisfied soul. And when it isn't satisfied, I go to the restorer of my soul, who brings me back to a God dimension of satisfaction. Is this good? He, not things, restores my. He, not things, make you internally satisfied. Very important. So when it's my birthday, and my friends ask me, what do you want for my birthday, for your birthday? I say, nothing. Now, you might think, well, that's crazy. I mean, I could always have more. And I don't mind more. But do I want more? No. Do I want a better car? No, I really like the car I have. Do I want a better house? Fine by me, unless the Lord shepherds me out. If I'm not shepherded, I ain't going. I'm not going with my want. I'm going with what he provides for me. And this is really the essence of what the psalmist is saying. Let God be the satisfaction of the inside of you, so that you live without the reaching for things that make you satisfied. That is a road to addiction, where all you want is this, more, when you're not satisfied with what you have. Paul actually said that we are complete in Christ. Let's look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 10. Just in case you don't know that you're complete in Christ, we'll read it from the Word. You are complete. I remember when my call is to be single. Otherwise, I would have been married by now. But I thought I had this idea of what my life was going to be, and it wasn't this. But the Lord shepherded me and led me to live a single life. Okay, that's my call. Paul says some are called to be married and some are called to be single. And less are called to be single than married. Okay? But I would have these people who would come up to me and say to me, "You're incomplete." And I'd be like, "I'd love to just quote the word that I'm complete in Christ. Because no other person can complete me. Only God can make you well on the inside. And if you have God completing you on the inside, you will be the best husband, the best wife, you'll be the best child, you'll be the best student, you'll be happy." Rather than making other people responsible for your happiness. Oh. Paul said, "I've learned to be content." Beloved, may you get there quick, where you know that Christ himself is all you need for soul health, inner health, your emotional health, your mental health, your choices in life. When he's leading your the things you aim for, you'll be content. Does that mean God doesn't want to bless me? Absolutely not. He wants to pour out more blessing than I can contain, but it's safe when I'm content without it. It's safe. Now, does God want to prosper his people? All through Scripture, it is right. But not to your detriment. I believe he could trust Abraham to be the richest man probably on earth at that time, because he was faithful to follow the voice. If you hear and hearken diligently to my voice, all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you, Scripture says. So in other words, you're putting following first, blessings follow and overtake you. So the core message isn't just about having everything you want. It's being satisfied. You know, there's a scripture that says he satiates the souls of the priests. The priests are every believer called to serve God, not just those called to the ministry. Every believer called to serve God, he satiates the souls of the priests with abundance. God makes me happy. I'm sad sometimes with life and things and situations, but I can be restored to joy. I go to him when my soul is out of kilter, and he puts me back into well-being. My good shepherd, he restores my soul. I don't know if that, all I know is God's on that bit. Because the pursuit of things is the most destructive thing that can happen in your life. It will lead you in the wrong way. It will lead you to overwork, get two jobs. It'll lead you to serve money more than God. And Jesus said you can't have two masters. It's either God you're serving or it's wealth, money, and it's priorities that need to shift on the inside. Lord, be my shepherd. I don't want this unless you're in it. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm grateful that he has brought me to a place in my relationship with him. But I'm just presenting to you a portrait of what is possible for you when he really is your shepherd. Wonderful, wonderful Jesus. The second thing to notice this morning is when David speaks of Psalm 23, it's very much me and you, Lord. There's a flock everywhere, all around. There's other people around. But David's like, God, you focus on me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not lack. He makes me lie down and grieve. He restores my soul. He leads me. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me. He's saying to, it can sound a little bit like self kind of absorbed, but it isn't. It's knowing that God takes care personally of you in a flock. I watched a very sad program this weekend. Can't remember when it was. And on the state of care homes in the area. Elderly left in care homes, neglected. And literally heartbreaking. And you know, when I finished watching that program, I was thinking through Psalm 23, and I thought, well, even my old age, the Lord will personally take care of me. Some of you are looking at me going, she is old. But there's a way to go. I'm not old enough yet. I'm just the right age, but I'm gonna stay around quite a while. I'm trusting the Lord, I will. So personal care in this psalm shows that the shepherd cares for you personally. He knows exactly what you're going through. He actually knows what you think about it. He knows what you're worried about. He knows what buttons are pushed by people around you. He knows the edges that he wants to, through Christ in you, change so that you can be more like Jesus. He knows everything about you. In fact, he knows a whole lot more about you than you do. And so that's why you can trust him to give you what you need when you need it. Personal care, not neglected. He never neglects his own people. And he's looking at you personally. Isn't that wonderful? I don't know whether to say this, but Monday morning, I was crying. Sad. Not for me, some other situation. I said, Lord, I shouldn't cry. I should just, trust you and believe. And, every morning I go to my good shepherd, sit on my own with a cup of coffee with him. And I read his word, I pray, I let him speak to me through his word, and I'm just crying. And as I'm reading, my eyes are drawn to this passage in its 2 Corinthians. I'm not going to quote it now, but I realized, and also in Philippians, I realized that my tears were part of sharing in the sufferings of Christ. Because he was grieving too. And it made all the difference to how I was going through what I was going through. And everything about my emotions made sense. It wasn't kind of unbelief tears. It was identity with the sufferings of Jesus. Not that we suffer for sin because he's the sin offering. We don't suffer sickness because he took all our sicknesses upon himself, and by his stripes we are healed. But we do suffer with pain and loss and things that happen. But I left that place of prayer restored. I stopped crying, but I also said, Lord, that's your heart that I'm sharing. This is your heart in this situation. But I didn't walk around depressed for a week. I left there because he lifted me. And then I kind of came back to soul health. So your relationship with the shepherd is really key to you being healthy. To your desires being shaped by God, even to your emotions being shaped by God, to having the same compassion that Jesus has for the lost. Jesus was moved with compassion when he saw that they were like sheep without a... Can you think of life without Jesus? I can't. Sheep without a shepherd. Honestly, I can't do it. But Jesus was moved with compassion. And I want to be moved with the heart of God for the lost. I don't just want to say I'm going to heaven, hallelujah, amen. I want to be like Jesus. You see, he restores my soul to be like his in everything. I don't know if this is helping you. But hearing his voice. He leads by calling out, hearing his voice. Now, when we're talking about the voice of God, I'm not going to do all of this today, but next couple of weeks, more will be revealed. What do we mean by hearing his voice? I've written down this phrase. I'm going to read it because I'll probably get it wrong to try and remember it. Any biblical channel through which God makes his will and purpose known. I'll say that again, probably twice. Any, God's voice, God's speaking, God's communication, any biblical channel God uses to make his will and his purpose known to a believer. Any biblical channel God uses to make his will and purpose known to a believer. Now, this is really important that his voice is the same as his will. So when God speaks, it's always his will. So you can hear the scripture this morning. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. And you could sit there saying, is God speaking to me? Well, yes, because the channel and the way he's using is scripture, is the word of God. Directly a quote from the Holy Scriptures. So this is God's voice. The Scriptures are God speaking. Psalm 23 is God's communication. Calling out to every sheep in the room, follow me, listen to my voice, because this is the life you'll get. Have you ever seen in the supermarkets a child in the front of the trolley? I once watched this little boy because, you know, he felt he was in charge. He's in the front of the trolley and dad's wheeling the trolley around the supermarket and he's got an imaginary steering wheel. And he's going, and his little face was all, he thinks he's in control, you know. And actually where he really wants to go to is the sweets. But behind him, the father is just carrying on, directing the trolley over this way and that way. And the little child was thinking, I'm in charge. I'm in charge. And I really feel that all our stresses and struggles in life will be solved if we look back and we say, only you can actually get me where I need to go, meeting the right people in the right place at the right time, doing the right thing. His will is made known through his voice, his direction. Now, God's power, this is the other important part of hearing his voice, God's power is always within his will. His grace, his power, is always going to move wherever his will is aligned to and acted on. So when we hear the voice, we know his will, and we align our lives to it, the power of God will come into that situation. Amen? So when Jesus taught us to pray, he said, pray, Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your reign, essentially. Come and reign on earth. I'm the first earth. People think about out there, but actually I'm the first earth. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. This is my earth. Touching terra firma here, I want your will in my life. Not just over there with them and sort them out. What about me? But that's where the prayer power is aligning with God's will. Which means we need to be hearing his voice. And we've already heard the scriptures are the voice of God. And God's power is only confined to his will. So if you go against his will, there will be no power or grace. Until you turn back and start following Jesus, hearing his voice, the good shepherd leading and guiding your life. Oh, happy days. To be a great follower makes you a great Christian. Leaders, essentially, the more leadership God gives you, the more he can trust you with following. The humble he leads in his way. Those who don't think they know. I call it retrospective planning Christians. Who make plans without authorization from heaven. Get on with it and say, God bless. Authorize what I've just done. There is no retrospective planning with God. He says, my sheep hear my voice, get authorized by me, and I'll back you 100%. Amen. His will. His voice is his will. His will is where his power is to accomplish it. Let's look at two examples. I'm maybe going to close in a minute. I don't know. I've got a lot to say, but I may not say it all today. Okay, so Peter has just been asked by the religious leaders for the temple tax. They had to pay a temple tax in their day. And in Matthew chapter 17, I don't know if I've... Thank you. He comes to Jesus and he says... And Jesus actually brings up the subject because he already knows what conversation Peter's had with that person. Your shepherd already knows what they said. They might not be in the room, but... And Jesus says, we're not going to offend them by not paying our taxes. That might be a word for somebody. We have to live righteously with government as well as with the Lord. There's some crazy belief in some Christians that they don't have to pay tax. It's not God. Lest we offend them, he said. Now this is the voice to Peter. Go, it's an amazing word. Go to the sea, cast a hook. Peter's a fisherman, by the way. Take the fish that comes up first. And when you've opened its mouth, you will find a piece of money. And take that and give it to them for me and for you. In other words, follow my voice, which is my will, that you'll have money to pay your tax. Do you not think that's bad? I think that's pretty. I call it good news from the Good Shepherd. Okay, so where am I going to find the money? Well, Jesus speaks. And he says, cast a hook in. And the first fish. Now, Peter, I always like to imagine the disciples going, my head. I've never caught a fish with money in it. It's just not making any sense to my head right now. Wouldn't that be great if you had a fish and money when you went fishing, but it's never happened before. But wherever the voice and the will of God is, the power of God begins to accomplish what has been spoken. That fish, whether God put it in his mouth or he'd kind of grown up with it in there and suddenly arrived at the very place on the Sea of Galilee, the very, very, very place where Peter popped a hook in, couldn't see any fish, pulled it out, and the one fish that had money in it was his. You see, following the voice of the shepherd produces God dimension results. And it should be the pursuit of every serious Christian. How do I hear? I need to hear the voice of Jesus clearly so that I know that whatever I do has got his backing behind it. See, God won't back sin. God doesn't back rebellion. It actually says the rebellious dwell in a dry place. Those who hear but rebel, there's no blessing there. There's only the blessing of God where his will is being heard and acted on. Another great example, this time from the Old Testament. I thought I'd do the Old and the New today. This is the Good Shepherd with Isaac. Now, Isaac had a dad called Abraham. I feel like I'm telling a story here today. Isaac had a dad called Abraham. Now, Abraham must have told Isaac this story because when he grew up, his dad was saying, you know, when there was a famine, a great famine, what I did was I decided to move to Egypt to where there was provision. Now, Isaac now is in famine himself. He's grown up, got his own family, and he's thinking it through. And in Genesis 26, verse 1, it actually says there was a famine in the land as there was in the time of Abraham. Now, famine speaks of all kinds of lack, not just a lack of provision. So famine, you can have famine relationally, you can have famine in every area of your life. Lack. And Isaac could have thought through what his dad did and did the same. Followed a human pattern. Shepherded by his dad. But you know what happened? God spoke into that famine situation. And you might be in a situation today where you're saying, there is nothing here for me. Because a lot of Christians get moved by famine, not by the voice of the shepherd. I'll just let that hang. That's a statement that could save your life. A lot of Christians are moved by lack rather than the voice of God. They don't wait for God to speak. And they just go and do whatever they plan to do. And the Bible says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end leads to death. So it's dangerous to have your own plans. Human plans are a disaster, because in the end, it ends up in death. This is a word, hey? This is a word this morning. So Genesis 26. So the Lord appeared to Isaac and said, don't go. That's strong. Don't go. Bit like the parents saying, no, you're not having an iPhone. You're not doing what you want. Ooh, we don't like the don'ts. We only like the do's. But when we listen to the don'ts, we get the blessing. Yes. Obedience always leads to God's provision. I shall not lack. He said, don't go down to Egypt. That's the world. Live in the land of which I shall tell you. Dwell in this land. Famine land? Nothing here for me land? You want me here, Lord? How many of you have lived in places that have, at the beginning, been famine? I have. I've been led to places where there was absolutely nothing for me. But God blessed me in those places more than I could ever imagine. Because I know he's a good shepherd and he's not going to lead me to something that isn't good. I trust him, you see. I've got confidence he's good. So he said, stay. I will be with you. That's the shepherd actually involved. And I will bless you. The power of blessing, we don't understand. When God speaks blessing, things are completely shifted in the spirit to release change in and over your life because of that word. So I will bless you isn't like, oh, bless you, darling. It releases power to do somebody good. Power to prosper them, to not give them harm, to give them a hope and a future. And it looked like there was no future there for him. And it says, I'm going to give it to you. And it matters you stay, because it's not just about you, it's about future generations. It's about what God's going to do in your kids. That's a word. That's a word. What God's going to do in your kids. You stay, I'll bless you, and you'll enter your inheritance. And actually, you know, Isaac had a bit of seed. So he was blessed by God to stay. He didn't move in famine, and he began to sow in the land where there was famine. Nothing was growing, nothing happening. God blessed him, and within a year, do you know what happened? Do you know the story? Anybody read the story? 100-fold increase. So much blessing out of famine just because he stayed and did what God said to do. Word up. Come on, church. This is the word of the Lord. You don't move by your feelings. You don't move by your circumstances. You move by hearing the word of the Lord. I'm going to finish. We're going to pray. Shall we stand? Tell somebody next to you, I've got a good shepherd. I've got a very, very good shepherd. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Ruth, do you mind if we have Psalm 23 up? I'd like you to just pray through this. and relinquish, in the first verse, leadership to him. Say, I'm handing my life not over to my family, not over to my circumstances. I'm saying, Lord, you're my shepherd. And thank you for this promise. So let's just pray. Thank you, Lord. You're a good shepherd. Just thank him that you hear his voice. That he's well able, if you're listening, if you're giving yourself to listen, he will make sure he communicates. Through every biblical channel, his voice is his will. He wants to communicate and fill you with the knowledge of his will. Just thank him that he laid down his life. That's how much his heart is for you. That if there was nobody else here, he would still have done it for you. So intense and so strong is his love for you. That he will always personally care about your life. And your job is to be a sheep and listen to the call, the voice, and follow. It's an easy description, job description. My sheep hear and they follow. Thank you, Jesus. You lead into places of refreshing, that you always restore our souls. When our souls feel damaged by life, sad because of what we're seeing, you're the God who restores. You understand. Thank you that you're the restorer, the healer of broken hearts. We've sung it this morning, but Good Shepherd, run in and heal and restore souls this morning. We want you to tend to our souls, that we will be satisfied and complete in you. Not driven by the desires that this world is running after, but we want to run after our shepherd. Run after him with joy and freedom, knowing that he has plans that are good for us. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We give thanks for what you've led us into so far. And we pray, Father, for the sensitivity, the awakening of your voice in our hearts. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Restore. I pray, Lord, take out every wrong desire out of my heart and our hearts. Pursuing things or promotion or bigger salaries, bigger cars, bigger stuff. I pray, Father, we wouldn't be like spoiled children who always want what we want. But you'd bring us to a place of rest and satisfaction in you, that what you give us, Lord, is more than enough. Thank you that we can trust you to take care of us and even bless us in the place that you lead us to be. We praise you, Good Shepherd, that you've led us this far, and you will lead us all the days of our lives. That this isn't for this season, it's for every season of life. The good times and the bad times, the times when we have more and the times when we have less. We want to thank you, Good Shepherd, that you are more than enough for us. Praise your holy name. Lord, today we just want to acknowledge that it's easy to run with a plan that's not from you. And we do lay down our plans. We lay down our plans, our agenda, our five-year fixes. I should be this by then, and I should be doing this by then. But Lord, we say, if the plan's not you, eliminate it out of our hearts and minds, we pray. We want to follow you in purpose and direction. Your purpose isn't the same as the world has. It's for your kingdom to come and your will to be done on earth. Just pray that, Father, on this earth, me, my life, let your kingdom come. Lay down your plans and say, Lord, your ways, your plans. Thank you, Lord, for restoring grace upon us as we yield to you. Your thoughts are higher than ours. We just acknowledge that, Lord. Your thoughts are higher than ours. Your ways are higher than ours. And Heavenly Father, as the one of the shepherds of this church, pastors, we are under the shepherd and overseer of all. You are the great shepherd. And we pray that as leaders, we would walk humbly before you. Not with our own agendas or copying some other plan, but that we would listen and hear your voice. Pray that for every ministry and every serving ministry in the body here, that we would know what you're doing and wanting to do, Lord. Thank you for the activity of your Spirit, that you're going to awaken new things in us through the power of your Holy Spirit, that we're going to be sensitive to the voice. We're going to have dreams and visions again, that there's going to be a release of your Spirit. And the word is going to come alive to us. We'll know it as the very voice of God. And when the preaching comes of your word, we will know that it is the Good Shepherd who's speaking to us personally, to me, to me, to me. I want to thank you, Good Shepherd, for the voice that leads us individually and corporately. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, you lead us to deny ourselves as part of your leadership, to take up our cross and follow you. Thank you, Lord, that it's not everything that we want, but it's everything you want that is our heart's desire. And Lord, there is going to be a time to say no to doing what we know to not being your will, so that we can follow. But I pray for the grace to follow. I just wonder if you could just pray for somebody next to you and pray for a friend.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Kingdom Faith Southwest. For further information, log on to kingdomfaithsw.com.